All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 193. Bag Milk, Tyler, Jay sitting in. Rick and Dan are back at home in Edmonton. The three of us are in Los Angeles, getting set for game three. The vibes are excellent. The sun is out.
As it ever.
The drinks are flowing. Let's get to it. As we do every week, we start off with the delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Brand new location of is open now in Fort Sask. Airdrie's open. Aaron Ridge, Kingsway. A lot of new locations. Anything else, Jay, I'm missing?
No. Come check out and try our butter chicken mac and cheese. Mm. It's delicious. It's two things you like that deserve to be together in one ceremony of deliciousness.
A bouquet of flavors.
A bouquet, you would say. Exactly.
And Jay and I are wearing Oodle Noodle Loves You t-shirts.
You guys look great.
Well, Oodle Noodle is co-sponsoring the pregame show. So we'll be going around, and we also have to gallivant the Oodle Noodle contest winners around as well. So
yes,
we've got some work to do.
Tyler?
Yes.
What is our delicious debate?
The Oodle Noodle delicious debate for this episode 193 of the podcast they call Oilers Nation Radio is: what was the most impressive part of the Oilers' Game 2 victory over the Kings?
I'll jump in.
Ooh.
I just want to say, first of all, one, the crowd at Rogers Place was bananas. Like, you guys were at Game 1, and you both said that Game 2 was louder in there. And I wasn't at Game 1, but Game 2 was bananas. It was electric in the building. And then just the easy answer, special teams. How can you not love the special teams for the Oilers right now? 50% on the power play, 100% on the PK. That's money. Money in the bank.
They have the best, and you showed me the stat, the best combined special teams percentages in the NHL so far in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, 100% on the PK. Like, yeah. By how much?
By a bunch. Know. It's like 18% or something. Yeah. We're at 150. I think Tampa Bay is like 131 or something silly.
Which is almost like, I know perfect's 200%, but 150 is
perfect. Doesn't get much better
than it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's nuts. So keep that going. We're going to be okay.
Dan, what are you thinking?
How about Mike Smith and his performance and his bounce back from, you know, completely owning a mistake that he made? And, you know, we talked about it, Tyler, on that podcast right afterwards. We're not apologizing for Mike Smith. I think everybody just knows who that goalie is. But, you know, to his credit, he came out and he fought and he battled. And the Oilers, you know, as a team responded as well. But that first period, Mike Smith was all over it.
Rick?
I just like how they played overall. They didn't let that first game bother them at all. they came out and the first period was a little bit of feel your opponent out a little bit, but as they got going, they started to roll. And in that second period, you saw what happened. When they get that confidence, they start skating, moving up and down. Their forwards are much bigger than the defenders in LA. And I think the physical contact down low is really breaking them down. They're going to cycle very well. And when you start shooting, scoring like that, you know, the boys are feeling it.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one too. And I like the point Dan made about Schmitty. Like we know Schmitty battles, right?
TM,
yes, Schmitty battles. And I just thought it was a big response from him. Like he got lucky a few times with the play that squeaked past him and they had to clear it off the line and all that stuff. But for the most part, Smith was good. And the crossbar as well, I guess you could say he kind of got lucky on, but
that's all he gave him.
Yeah, but he gave him a chance. And like that game, it ended 6-0, but it was close for a long time, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because as we were going into, Jay and I went to the game together, and as we went into, what was it, the first intermission?
Yeah.
Oilers were up, but not by enough. So Jay said in the intermission, they need a period to explode. And that's exactly what they did in the second.
Yeah, no, that was convincing. I think for me, like I'm just echoing all your statements, like the fact that just the collective team didn't let the Schmitty mistake take him down. They all seemed very confident and just ho-hum after game one in the press conference. And just that whole like, yeah, we move on, we move on. That statement game needed to happen. And we got it. And then also, you know, I'm going to say like nine things, which is TM for myself, but the physicality of all Oilers, like Connor's going around and throwing the body. Everyone is
Nuge had four hits.
Nuge is throwing. So everyone's committed to the playoff cause, and that's what it takes. Everyone, you know, you got to chip in on like where you can offensively, defensively, and also on the physical side of the game. And you're seeing that from all our players and our captain, which is amazing.
Gregor wrote about it in the game notes this morning that the Oilers have been really hard on the Kings defensemen. They're throwing their bodies around. And I think that's going to be a major, major factor in tonight's game three as well. Tyler, anything else that stuck out for you?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, talking about being physical on their D-men, a lot of them are inexperienced, like Jordan Spence, a guy like Mikey Anderson, Sean Durzi, like half that blue line hasn't been around, hasn't been in the playoffs before. And I think if you're the Oilers, if you keep up that physicality from all four lines, whether it's McDavid, Cassian, Fogle, whoever, keep up that physicality. And as this series goes on, the mistakes from the Kings D-men will just start to multiply as a result of your consistent pressure. And the other thing I loved about game two, and I wrote about it a little bit at the site today, the fact that Connor McDavid played, what was it, 17 minutes? 17. It was the fourth least time on ice for him in a game this year. For Draisaitl, it was the least time on ice in a game. And for Nurse, it was second least time on ice in a game. You got a chance to blow out the Kings 6-0. Build up all this momentum and you didn't have to push your stars to do it. And over the course of a 7-game series, over the course of what we hope is a long playoff run, the more games you can have where you can just say, hey, you know what, Connor, it's the third period. Enjoy the Gatorade, man. Like you're just chilling. Like I think that'll go a long way in keeping them rested and fresh so that when there are games like maybe tonight where you go, you know what? We need Connor and Leon. We need Darnell to play 26 minutes tonight. It's not as taxing on them because they're not worn down.
But also, how about the way they came out and played that third period? We've seen plenty of times this regular season, if they're up by two or three at the end of two, they kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit. They maybe play a little too conservative, don't really score anything, and they let the other team come back. In that third period, they came out and they scored three goals. Yeah, they took what they had control of the game. They had the foot on the throat and they kept the component down and didn't let them get back up.
Well, and that's something since Woodcroft has come along that they seem to have their victory formation in order for the third period. It's not just a dump and chase and hope for the best kind of effort anymore. It's an actual plan.
They still went out and got goals. There was still offense to play for.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to give a little bit of credit for that specifically. The crowd. I think in the regular season, you're up 3-0 in the third period. You know, the crowd maybe checks out a little bit, right? You're like, oh, the Oilers are winning. If it's like a random Wednesday night in December,
believe we're getting the wave going though.
Yeah, but like you're not going crazy. And the fact that the crowd is still just roaring for every hit and every scoring chance and all that, I think it's easier for the players to keep the pedal to the floor, keep the foot on their throat, whatever you want to use. And just go hammer them.
It's like a drug.
And also, like when your captain is throwing the body around like that, how can you not buy it?
Chills.
Oh, yeah.
How can you not?
Yeah, he was feisty.
Remember back in 2017 when he started doing that as well against San Jose,
and that was a turning point in that one game when I don't know who he hit, a Couture or something. Demolished him open ice, and then I don't know if we were losing at that point in that game, but we ended up winning that game.
Yeah,
and it's like those signature moments that you look back on, like that totally changed the impact and outcome of the game. But now it's everyone is doing it.
Yeah,
like I won't be shocked if Nuge gets in a fight this series. I feel like it's percolating.
It might be.
They're just getting feisty.
Him and Dano.
That'd be a good tilt.
That'd be a great trade-off.
Oh, I would love it. Oh, yeah. Get Dano off the ice. We're wearing Dano down.
How about that clip of Durzi in the penalty box with Nurse and Durzi yells over. What did he say? He was like, punch me in the face next time. Yeah, punch me in the face next time.
And Nurse is like, okay.
Speaking of the penalty box, I would be remiss if I didn't give Goat and Lil Bro a shout out for their work beside the penalty box in game two. They were giving them the business if you were in there, and it was a lot of fun to watch. We were right across the ice from them, and it was nonstop.
They were given a final warning too by the usher or something like that, I was told.
Like nine final warnings.
Yeah.
They
came
down. They just said the rush had to be their part, but they weren't going to stop them. I love it. You could just see, we were sitting across the ice, like we're on the other side of the building from them, and you just look down and you can just see Goat is having the time of his life. Like the last time these guys traveled was the Nation vacation to Las Vegas. So they came up to Edmonton as their first trip, since the pandemic or during the pandemic, to come to Edmonton. They picked a hell of a game for it, and they brought the energy and necklaces.
I told them they're not allowed to leave now, unfortunately.
Hell yeah. Keep them here.
You come to Edmonton from Salt Lake, and then all of a sudden we win 6-0. You can't go.
Yeah, we need
to. We got him here for two more games.
Hell yeah.
I was just also thinking about it too, where I could just imagine what it would have been like for a Canucks player to be sitting, or not Canucks, a Kings player to be sitting in the penalty box looking over at two giant mountains
banging on the
glass and screaming at them.
I felt bad because they're sitting together and right near the penalty box, but there was one person in between them and the penalty box. That Goat's just like, Goat's a big guy. Like he's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's just like towering over this guy, yelling at the Kings guy. That guy was,
if we told you they were mountain men, you would know exactly what we're talking.
They are.
Shout out from game two has to go to Luke Gazdick. You got shown up on the big screen, absolutely demolished his beer. It's
amazing.
It got the crowd going.
I've literally seen two people get kicked out for doing that in my lifetime at an Oilers game. And I just thought it was awesome that it's, I think it shows a little bit of a shift as this organization that we get it now.
I wonder if they're rattled. I wonder if they're like, Luke, why'd you do that? Or they're like, hell,
they posted it on their social.
They posted it on social the next day.
That's right. They leaned into it. Okay, that's good. You're right, Dan. Maybe this is a signal that things are changing for the better.
I distinctively remember during a kiss cam one time where a couple was kissing and a guy just comes in and cranked a beer. And then it was like a section over from me. And then security came down and escorted him out for it.
Also, Ben Scrivens, the crowd may not have recognized you, but Jay and I did.
We saw you, Ben. We saw you, man.
He was sitting right beside Luke Gazdick, and the crowd's going bananas for Gazdick. And then they show Scrivens is in the shot and just
silence. You know,
and then when they posted it on social, they explicitly cropped out Scrivens.
The professor just didn't want to be shown.
No love. Boys, for the delicious debate, any other notes from game two? Maybe something from game two that we need to carry into tonight's game three. First game in LA.
What's that confidence level, man? You just got to keep the momentum rolling. You're feeling it. Your guys are hot. They got some hot sticks out there. You just got to keep playing that same way. And hopefully, in the away building, you get away from the nerves of playing in front of your own crowd. You get out there, you play a simplified game, take control of game one take control in the first period and ride it out through all 60 minutes.
Couldn't agree more. You got it. You got to maintain that momentum in the first period. Don't let LA feel comfortable in their barn, because that'll make for a long game. We come out hot, foot on their throats, and just see this one through.
One stat that I found interesting from game two, at 5-on-5, the two Oilers with the best shots for percentages were Zach Cassian and Warren Fogle. And I think coming back to game three now, where LA and Todd McClellan are going to get their choice for what they want the matchups to be, right? Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to see a ton of Philip Deneau and Anze Kopitar, than they did in the first two games.
Yep, that's all they're going to see.
So I think it's going to be real important for that Fogle, Cassian, McLeod line, and also the Ryan Nugent Hopkins line to find a way to get some offense going.
Yeah.
Got to get the offense going.
Well, you guys know I'm a big believer in the goalie, and I think they just need to get after Quick again. The fact that LA left Quick in for all six goals in game two to me was shocking. I wonder if Todd thinks that Cal Peterson's like his ace in the hole that he can bring out when the things start going rough again. But I think you got to get on Quick in this first period and just keep it going. His rebound control has been suspect. And there was some pucks available in game one for me that I thought the Oilers could have tucked away and we would have had a different game story altogether. So
I agree.
I think you stay on top of Quick, you get his rebounds, and we're going to be talking about how we won game three and four in LA. No problem.
Another thing too, just a couple on that, Dan, is they got to get in Quick's kitchen. They were doing a lot more of that in game two. It's like Dan said, they got rebounds laying there in the crease, near the crease. You got to get greasy out there. Not every goal in the playoffs is going to be pretty. You got to get some ugly ones. And in game two, they got a couple of ugly ones and you need it. Cool. Like McLeod standing right there in front of the net, gets a deflection off Boucher's shot from the point. More of those, boys. More of those, more of those.
More.
Yeah, you do. And there were some moments where the Oilers were doing a great job with the cycle outside or on the perimeter of the offensive zone. Like there was that one shift, I want to say it was second period. And it's again, was one of those maybe momentum turning moments where that line, Drysdale, Yamamoto and Hyman, they just played keep away. It looked like for what, like almost a minute. And they're just cycling. And again, you don't score on that play, but that's fine. Like you wear down the other team enough. And, I just thought that was important. So, you know, keep your cycle game going, but yeah, you absolutely still need to get to the net and try to throw off Quick a little bit. The other thing, just going through the goals from last game as well, like that Darnell Nurse goal, you talk about the impact of special teams. At that point, you're up 1-0, whatever it was, about halfway through the hockey game. And if your penalty kill sucks and LA scores, it's 1-1 and that game doesn't end. Obviously it doesn't end 6-0 if it's 1-1 at that point, but that game's a lot closer at that point. Whereas you get the shorthanded goal, you get a big moment from your special teams, a big goal from a guy who struggled in game one as well. And all of a sudden you're sitting there being like, oh, it's 2-0. And then it was just snowball down the hill from there. Like the Oilers never let go of their grip on that game after that Nurse goal.
I loved the Woodcroft decision to sneak Connor out there to finish that PK. Paid amazing dividend. So that's something I'll keep an eye out for this game. Cause
he's done it all. He does it all the time with like,
does he? Oh, it's just me. It was just more obvious for this one. Okay.
Yeah. No, well, Connor goes out there for the last 30 seconds quite often.
It's going to be part of the chess match, getting him and Leon away from Kopitar and Deneau. Mm-hmm. You can sneak him out in the last couple of seconds of a PK and get him out there on an offensive chance.
Let them match up against those two guys. They're the best players in the world. Let's see Deneau try and keep up with them all game long. Let's see Kopitar deal with Leon. Cause let's face it, if they're on each other in one end, they're going to be on each other in the other end too. And I like the way that that Leon plays.
There's not enough intermission pizza for Deneau to stay fueled up to stay on Connor for 60 minutes.
Yeah. The delicious debate. Go ahead, Rick.
And if you can keep Kane and Puljujarvi scoring on Connor's line, that line's going to be unstoppable.
That was another thing I want to point out, actually, since you brought it up from game two. How good must Yessa feel that he got on the board in game two? He got robbed early in the game. Then he gets another chance, buries it. You could see the smile on his face. It was there.
And it wasn't like a shot that went off of him in front of the net like his last goal. He buried it.
Yeah, legit.
The delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Again, brand new location open in Fort Saskatchewan, Aaron Ridge. You might even see Tyler there.
Yep.
Kingsway, Airdrie, you name it. They've got a location near you. If it's not near you, or if you just want to hang out, sit in, it's Friday night, our friends at DoorDash will bring it to you. That's the way it goes. Ding dong. I wish we had the Liam button.
Oh, yeah, I do.
All right.
One sec. Sorry. I didn't know.
All the way in Los Angeles.
I think my roadcaster is acting up.
Ding dong.
If the people at home heard that ding dong.
We did.
Enjoy. Okay.
Excellent.
Well, I did.
Means you guys heard the intro I played off the jump too.
I did.
Yeah. See, I didn't pack enough headphones for everyone. So my bad.
And then we also heard you guys say, oh, we need to do this and something else. There was a little bit of behind the scenes footage there as well.
Mm. Well,
it's good to let the listeners into the
podcasting. They're a part of the editing booth.
Obviously, Friday night, game three here in Los Angeles. LA Live is across the street from us. We are going to be, if you're listening to this podcast before the game and you happen to be down in LA, we're going to be at, what is it called? Tom's
Watch Party? Watch
Tom's
Watch Bar.
Tom's Watch Bar. It's, you know, it's just called Tom's. It's right next to the rink and we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Do they have a lot of watches in there?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just
it's all a giant watch store.
Yep.
There you go.
Are you guys playing on Twitter right now? Like the Oilers can't get the lights on in the practice arena. They can't get their net. Like the LA staff is actually holding the nets in the corner.
Oh, they're doing gamesmanship.
Oh, yeah.
Gamesmanship.
I'm following Rashog right here.
Perfect. Like the whole team's on the ice. There's no lights on.
So just before 11 a.m. Pacific time, Rashog tweeted out a picture with the lights off. And then about 20 minutes ago, he said, what time will the lights come on? Practice doesn't officially start till 11:30, but Kings skated at a different rink, so they haven't been turned on here at the main arena. Koskinen is on the ice. And then arena staff won't give the Oilers the nets or turn the lights on 13 minutes ago. And then Dave Manson offered a helping hand to speed things up.
And that's an intimidating factor coming in there. The old Big Dave ain't going to let that fly. So what do you think of that, Rick? Like, what's your take on that?
It's playoffs for one. I honestly have no issues with it. You can still, like, I mean, from the video that I'm looking at, you can still see pretty well out there. So they can still skate around, loosen up, get ready to roll. I think it's hilarious. They literally have two staff members holding onto the nets by the crossbars.
And they're like, showing
in the corner.
They're showing they're afraid. Keep it going. Well, I want to keep like hearing about it.
If practice doesn't start till 11:30, it's what, 11:30 right now for you guys, I believe, maybe almost 11:40. Yeah. So the lights should be on right around 11:30.
Yeah, they probably just held everything back till right till 11:30.
11:25, Rashog tweeted, let there be light.
Oh, okay, there you go. So whatever, yeah, it's a little bit of fun. I love it. It's playoff time. It's hilarious.
Hey, play,
it doesn't really stop.
Playing by the rules. I love it.
So what that tells
me,
though.
Someone let the guys know down at Rogers. Someone get to let the guys know at Rogers.
We are rent-free in L.A.
We are rent-free here in L.A. They are in the Kings.
This reminds you of like the 90s, right? Like this is like something you could see the Oilers and the Stars going through.
We've got more situation going on across the street.
More sirens.
We've got more sirens going on across the street. I can't get a view on it, though. There's fire trucks everywhere.
So while we were walking back from breakfast, we had Denny's today. I had the French toast. It was pretty good.
The American Institution Denny's.
Yeah.
A nice fruit bowl and some eggs and bacon. It's delicious.
When we were walking back, there was just all this commotion outside of one of the buildings that was under construction. There was like, you know, fire trucks everywhere, like helicopters going. It's crazy. And one guy said someone had climbed up a crane and there is like still stuff going on outside. So I don't know what's happening, but
I saw a couple of helicopters buzzing around outside our room too. So we've got some shenanigans going on outside.
It'll be right outside of our pregame party at Tom's. That's if you need a landmark.
Yeah, it's the crane that the guy climbed
up. All the helicopters are directly underneath. We will be there at 3:30 Pacific.
3:30?
My money's on a protest.
I thought we said 5.
What?
But you said 5.
Oh, I thought
no. As
Dan knows, as a guy who helped take over Nashville, you got to get there before they can, and bring in the sea of orange.
You got to start planting those seeds.
You got to plant that flag. We're throwing out our flares right now. We got to we post that photo yet? Oh, yeah. We got a photo of Ram Chuck and I in front of the of Tom's.
Okay,
for a visual. Okay. We're gonna keep talking about Tom's. Mm-hmm. I know you got 900 radio hits to do after this.
Well, that doesn't really matter. We have a pregame show to do as well.
Yeah, of course.
Lots to do.
Tom's at 3:30, though.
Mm-hmm.
Game 3 tonight. Tyler, if you're looking at just a key to the game, what's the biggest one for you? For me, I just think the boys, if they have a good start, set the tone, maybe you get the first goal if you get one early. I think that'll be a really nice thing. Quiet the LA crowd down as much as possible early on. Yep. That'd be a really nice move.
I would say just physical play is going to be number one. Have a willingness to take pucks to hard places, forecheck really, really hard. And what that's going to do is A, it's going to keep wearing down the LA Kings defenders, mm-hmm. and B, it's probably going to keep giving you opportunities with the man advantage, right? And we know how deadly the special teams is. So if I'm in that room before the game, I'm telling the Oilers to hit everything that moves. I'm telling them to chip pucks in and go in hard on those D-men, wear them down, force them to take penalties, and then murder them on the power play.
You know what's beautiful about that? Is that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not telling them to do something they're not doing. We just watched them do that, and it's awesome.
Dan, you got a key for game 3. What do you think?
I feel like Woodcroft, I don't know. I feel like there's adjustments coming, and I think we're going to play a different style of game, and I'm hopeful for that. I feel like it's going to be a defensive effort tonight, and we're just going to kind of shut down the road crowd. I Yeah, I don't know. I just this new coaching vibe, it just has me feeling like we can adjust and we can change and we can be different teams every time if we need to be. And I think that this team is going to try and change it up here against LA.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if today's game is under.
Oh, under six and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rick, what do you got for keys to the game three?
Keep going out and doing exactly what we've been doing for the last six periods. I know it wasn't incredibly effective in the first three, but there are a lot of other reasons in there that we didn't win that first game. You saw what happened. They did the last game, 6-0. Don't change a damn thing. Keep going out there. Keep banging bodies. Put the pressure on them. Force them to make mistakes. Make the most of their mistakes. It's real simple.
Okay.
Well, it's tough to come up with something new, but just come to LA, bang and crash, and squeak out a win. And you're right. I'm with Dan. I think this is probably going to be a lower scoring game, but yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a 2-1, 3-2, you know, 1-0 type situation.
Rick, you think it's going to be 8-0?
I think we have at least 4 in us tonight.
All right, so 4. I'll give you 4-1, just so my
This LA team cannot handle the Oilers, especially when they're playing as confident as they are right now.
Agreed.
We have a really fucking good team.
Yeah.
LA does not stand a chance against us.
Actually, let's talk about this, because something that did change in game two from game one is the injection of Josh Archibald.
Yeah.
He was okay.
But he was running around hitting, though. He helped support the physicality narrative, right?
And yeah, exactly.
That's something.
Energy, you know, momentum.
Yep.
Exactly. Brings energy, brings momentum. People feed off that stuff. I know you can't measure it, and therefore, analytically, it doesn't really weigh it that much.
But emotionally. But
in an emotion-packed game, that stuff matters.
I'm hoping to see later on, we can see a Niemelainen injection as well into the lineup and do that same kind of thing.
He's got to jump over a couple defensemen to get there. He's hurt right now for one. Oh. I don't see him jumping up. Not this season anyway.
They're showing that they prefer Broberg right now, I think, right? Broberg's the one getting called up and is practicing. I also didn't know Niemelainen was hurt right now.
Another guy that's hurt, Victor Arvidsson, will not play tonight.
Again.
To Todd McClellan, he is working through a lower body injury.
Oh, so oh boy.
That's another whole.
Connor flew. LA Kings.
Connor flew.
Scared of Connor.
They're like, Victor, you playing tonight? He's like, absolutely not. Is McDavid in the lineup? I'm not going
to
skate.
Their captain chose surgery instead of trying to play Connor in a 7-game series.
That's a great line. Can I offer up a prediction for game three? Please. I think we get Zach Cassian, Brendan Lemieux fight. They were jawing a lot in game two. And on the bench, Cassian was doing his little lean over the edge and barking at him. I think Lemieux is going to try set the tone with that home crowd and get them into it early. And I think Cassian's just in the mood to beat the shit out of someone.
You know who else I see in this crap tonight, even though I may not want it? Vander Kane's been spicy through the first two games.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking for it. He's looking to mix it up. But I don't know if I want him to.
But will he have a, like, I don't know if there's a dance partner on LA.
Yeah, because
like, he's the only one.
They don't have McDermott anymore. Like, who's the Vander? Like, who's going to step up?
Well, and I was going to say, Tyler, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right, but I feel like Lemieux grabs this guy that he shouldn't grab and tries to fight him instead.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's a spunker. Lemieux's going to jump someone, and then Cass is going to have to react to it, which is probably going to hurt.
I think Lemieux might bite the bullet just for the sake of trying to get his team fired up after getting their ass kicked.
I think if he's biting a bullet, he's literally going to get his face caved in. So,
but you stay calm. You saw what his father used to do. Mm-hmm. If he wants to go out there and do something stupid and end up taking a 2-4 or even a 5, let him take his 2-4-5, kill him on the power play. Just keep playing the way they are playing right now. They're beating the hell out of them right now.
Yeah.
They don't have to drop the gloves to anybody. I know what you, and I'd love to see Cassian take on Lemieux. Trust me. But if we can somehow turn this into Lemieux taking 2, maybe 3 penalties throughout the game and getting some power plays out of it, let's go.
You know it's coming. That guy doesn't think.
Well, that's another interesting thing, too, is that they are calling penalties. And if LA is going to keep going to the box, the boys are going to keep burning them, not just on PP1, but also on PP2. And I think that's a luxury under Woodcroft that the Oilers haven't had in years.
Oh, so who scored the power play goals so far? So you had Draisaitl on unit one. He had one last game. McLeod had, Kaner. No, that wasn't McLeod last game. Kane last game had a power play goal.
Yeah.
And then game one was
Yamo.
Yeah. And who was the top gun? Was it Drysdale again?
Might have been.
Yeah. Either way, the top unit has two and the second unit has two, and that's great.
That's I would say that's balanced.
It is, and they're going to him as well. Like 57 seconds left in the power play, whistle.
Yeah.
In the past, it was like, nope, Connor and Leon, you're staying out for another 30 seconds. And now it's like, nope, unit two's on.
As much as like when I see that, I'm like, damn it, no, keep him out there. But like, I know what Woodcroft's doing and it's paying dividends. He's putting trust in his players and his players are feeling it, feeling more confident as a result of it and are now performing. So in Woody, we trust here.
And we have like almost like McLeod's a rookie right now, right?
Yeah.
We have a rookie who's like leading our PK, who on PP2 is actually the zone entry. The guy, he's the Connor McDavid. He takes the puck from. Yeah. They drop it to him.
Yeah,
they're having a hard time dealing with his wheels too.
He is just.
Yeah, we have something special in this kid. We got something special in this kid.
Yeah.
Well, and also by playing that second power play, it also just frees McDavid and Draisaitl to play 5-on-5 hockey, which is where we need to score goals. And so. Yeah,
you can pop them back. You can pop them back out there on together at the end of the power play when the other team's broken down and real tired now.
Another thing too, just again from game two that was erased from game one is 5-on-5 scoring came back in game two, and the Oilers desperately needed after being outscored 4-1 at even strength in game one. This I thought was interesting, boys. We're talking about how Schmitty battles. This is from Sportsnet Stats. Mike Smith recorded his fifth career playoff shutout on Wednesday. His career 931 save percentage in the playoffs is the second highest in NHL history among goalies with 30 plus games played.
But he lost 10 in a row.
Oh, yeah. And all those people wanted to throw. Well, last year he was the second best goalie in every game he played. And it's like, yeah, man, because he went up against Connor Hellebuck. Like, that kind of makes sense. You know,
it's an honor to be second to Connor.
Yeah. And everyone loved throwing. Oh, 2 years ago. And like after game one, those people who shit their pants and were yelling at me on Twitter because I said, you start Smith in game two and don't think twice about it.
You had great points that night.
Yeah, and everyone, and or not everyone, but there was a group of people who were shitting on me and were like, never had second best goalie in every game. Since March 1, he's been the best one of the best goalies in the NHL. He has been a good playoff guy throughout his career. If you count the Winnipeg series, where there were games that the Oilers should have won, but there was their offense that didn't come through, not Smith. Like, again,
exactly.
Mike Smith doesn't need me to go to bat for him. I haven't done that very often. But if you're sitting there and like just still for some reason shitting on Mike Smith, what are you even doing watching this team?
You got to let it go.
You got to let it go.
Look at the last.
Get him another Bud Light for that. Get him another Bud Light for that. He's
earned your respect now.
We stocked up the room quite nicely, Rick. So now the old BLs will be flowing.
We're overstocked.
They didn't have Bud Light sodas, though. I'm so rattled.
He was rattled. He made sure to do a second and third check.
I asked an employee.
It blows me away. You go to a grocery store and buy booze for one.
Yeah.
And then the price point at which said booze is at is just even more mind blowing. And then also everything comes in a 900 pack.
Yeah.
My pack of claws is a mighty pack.
Yeah, that's a 30 pack.
And we were just even like a 2-6 of rum, $10.
$10.
It's like, what?
Land of the free, baby.
Yep. So room 612 at the Marriott Courtyard LA Live. We are fully stocked and ready for you.
Yep.
I love it.
Just knock on the door loud.
Knock very loud. Scream.
Or just come in if it's open.
Yeah. Why not?
You can hang on my pillow couch.
Yeah. Another thing, just to take you guys behind the scenes. Lovely room, I'd say. Here in Los Angeles, two big queens. I thought Tyler and I were shacking up. Then we have a pullout couch. This thing or that thing is
I basically slept with springs up my ass. It's very uncomfortable.
Better or worse than Nashville, Tyler?
Way worse.
Way worse.
And it also made me appreciate the fact that you made my bed for me the first night together in Nashville. Because when I walked into the room yesterday, I was like, no, I got to make a bed.
Shit. Jay and I were just sitting there laughing at him while he did it.
So. Taking photos of me trying to figure it out.
But you're like crawling in behind the couch.
Because I couldn't fit on the other side.
To be fair, I did it because I felt bad. I got a king size out of it. So
that's fair. But
well,
yeah. I would gladly sleep on that pillow couch from Nashville again. That was like a good mattress. This one is like just cardboard. It's awful.
Keeps you on your toes though.
Yep.
Keeps you on your toes. I got to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone has been a family and employee-owned business here in Edmonton. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, they've got everything you need, all the products you need. Cornerstoneins.ca. Soon they're going to be launching also just a quick sort search portal. I got a tour of it about a week ago with Kareem. He's a great guy from Cornerstone. Go check him out. On the left-hand side of the screen, Citizens of the Nation, get yourself a little discount.
Did I just yawn into the mic?
Someone really sighed real deep. Oh, sorry,
because you guys laughed. I yawned while you're doing it.
We might, and they laughed.
And I was like,
we might need to take.
I just
we might need to cut out everyone's mic except for. Just to
well, oh, sorry, I'm
government y- name.
Oh, and I did it.
Government
sorry,
name. Yeah.
really quickly, boys. I know this is Oilers Nation Radio, but I want to talk about some of the other series a little bit.
There's other hockey being played right now.
Last night,
come on, you're telling me you haven't been paying attention to the other province in this or the other series in this province?
Okay, maybe I watched a little bit of that last night.
Oh, I gotta imagine, and I haven't checked in with the crew down at Flames Nation, but I'm speculating. You gotta imagine the stress levels are rising a little bit.
Well,
only one
they're
goal
gonna, scored they're gonna tell two each games. Other, but they have that whole jinx on game two, right? So they have a little bit of excess of hope they can use on this.
Don't validate them.
I'm just saying what we would do if we had not won a game two since 2004, something like that. I'm just saying what the five, six, no, however no, many no, of us no, there no. are right now.
Let's talk about where the hell is Johnny Gaudreau?
Johnny yes. Gaudreau.
Dude, he goes home early in the springtime. We know
he
this.
Is
this
home.
Is not a surprise to anybody.
This is he's in Philadelphia.
This isn't a surprise. This should not be a surprise to anybody, anyways.
I spoke about it this morning with somebody. I said, you know, like if this team had Taylor Hall as its leader right now, I wouldn't be as confident as I am. And I look at Johnny Gaudreau as kind of a Taylor Hall type. He just, you know, he scores a lot of goals in the season. And then when it comes playoff time, we're not, you can't rely on him to produce for you every game.
Johnny it's Gaudreau has hockey, right? Zero Hart trophies.
It's big boy hockey. And I don't know, Johnny, that he's just not, he doesn't have that makeup sometimes. What about Tampa, Toronto? Sometimes what are you guys thinking there? Because going to game three in Tampa, if they win tonight, Leafs fans are going to be panicking.
Again, I don't like to talk too much because I want to jinx it. You can, everyone here can obviously guess which way I want both these series to go. But I also feel like the more I get excited about one or get upset about the other, then it's gonna go against me. So I'm just gonna happily sit back and watch this game with a sly little smirk on my face.
Yeah. Looking around the other series of the NHLs, which one are you paying the most attention to here in the playoffs?
From a, we'll call it monetary perspective, I'm a big New York Rangers fan, always have been, never said anything different. Love the Rangers, go Rangers. And my prediction of the Boston Bruins beating the Carolina Hurricanes is not going well.
I thought that was going to happen.
Me too.
I thought that was going to happen.
But you're never in trouble till you lose it on home.
Still could.
Oh my yeah. God. You know, watching Florida just roll over Washington game two wasn't exactly the most surprising thing in the world.
But Washington takes that split all day.
Oh yeah. You take the split all day, but I think Florida still rolls in five or six. Like I don't give Washington a huge chance. No one's given the Avs a huge chance. What do you think they are on points bet to win the series? They were -3,000 going into game two, which means you'd have to wager $3,000 on the Preds to win, or sorry, on the Avs to win that series just to win $100. I clicked the wrong button.
For the Preds though for holding that game to 1-1 into overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the shots?
No.
It was 50 to 26 or something.
-5,000.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the goalies who are playing right now. Let's talk about the goaltenders who are playing right now. What kind of names are in net right now that half the world's never even heard of?
We've Yoter, already had an e-bug in the playoffs.
Kuchi is what they call him. Louis Domingue's going to keep starting because Casey Smith's out for the year.
Nashville.
Yikes. Connor Ingram.
Yeah, they're
Big Save Dave crazy, did man. Not make any saves in game one.
still
dude, that guy's been downhill ever since he did his little stick thing. Yeah. I love that more than anything right now.
Broke his brain.
He did smash a stick afterwards too.
Speaking of another thing that I just thought about, last night we got to go out for a drink with Daily Faceoffs, Mike McKenna. I got to give him a shout out. He's going to be doing the TNT broadcast between the benches tonight. That's cool.
For the Oilers game.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is obviously why he's in LA.
Wow.
And he was asking us for good Oilers stories that he could work into the broadcast.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
So he
offered him up the Bison King.
Yeah. He is on a mission. He's just hoping he can use Bison King.
So if you're watching the game at home and you're one of the people who maybe streams the game online, maybe you throw on the American feed. See our boy Mike McKenna. See if he gives us any love.
Yeah, he's got a Nuge. He's got a Nuge line that he's working on. Yeah. And but it was, we didn't have to tell him about the Bison King. He's like, oh man, I just hope I can use Bison King.
Yeah.
Matt, could you imagine getting to stand there for one game?
Sick. It'd be wild. I'd love to hear just like the between the benches, what they're
everything.
Saying.
I want everything. I want to hear that. I want to see what the coaches do. Yeah. I want to see the game like right in front of your face. I will take a puck that comes through in that little area. No problem. I'll duck and dive. That's fine.
He'll have a good perspective on the between the benches chat of Lemieux and Cassian. So it'll be interesting to get a debrief from him post game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing Tyler, we should bring up. We were talking about.
Can you bug him?
Oh, we'll bug him.
Well, after the game, sure.
Text him during.
No, like a little listening device on him.
Oh,
yeah, bug him that way. Oh man.
Yeah, see if we can meet him pregame. I'll give him a hug.
CIA stuff or a little FBI.
Yeah, we'll just do the old slip in the pocket, something there.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Tyler, one thing we should talk about is Darren Dreger was tweeting about it yesterday. The way the Oilers got to Los Angeles is interesting.
Yeah. This is something Frank Saravalli talked about as well. So the Oilers, instead of flying straight shot from Edmonton to LA, they flew into Vancouver, bussed from Vancouver into Washington State, and then completed the flight into Los Angeles. So the reason for doing that is if you're going to cross the border and go into the US, the US still has the rule where you need a negative test to get in, but that's only if you travel by air. So by traveling by bus, you eliminate the need to have a negative test. For the Oilers, the bonus of doing this is you don't risk someone like Connor McDavid having an asymptomatic positive test. So that's the route the Oilers are going. That's the route the Toronto Maple Leafs are going as well. I saw some people being like,
oh, Blue Jays, Yankees, same thing. Like this is all sports. Well, I guess, well, there's only two sports that cross that border, but yeah.
Yeah, so this is something everyone's kind of been doing or the teams who need to do it have been doing. And it's basically just to make sure you don't get like a weird asymptomatic positive test that keeps a player out of your lineup. I saw some people on Twitter being like, why are they doing this just for Archibald? It's so dumb. It's not just for Archibald. Even if Archibald wasn't on the team, they would still be going this route. The Leafs are doing this. I would imagine the Flames are doing this as well.
And it's important to note for educational purposes, this is an American rule, not a Canadian rule.
This is, the American government requires you to have a negative test to enter the country.
Thanks. Flying only.
Which is so dumb.
Yes. How
and
is
you
it
don't
different?
Need
you
a
fly
test.
Instead of drive.
You no longer need a test to come back into Canada. So the three of us do not need to test while we're down in the States. The Oilers, when they're done game four, will not need a test to come up when they're up 3-1 in the series, right?
Yes.
I like what you just said.
That was
I like how you just said that.
Sly confidence.
You just put that in there and I like that.
But it didn't even smirk, just went and grabbed his beer to take a sip right after, just like smooth. It was just
mad. Oh, he smirked. I could see the front view. He was smirking the whole time.
I also had a good time. We were watching Tyler record the Daily Faceoff show today. And Jay and I were having a little bit of fun behind the camera, trying to distract him a little bit.
Bag Milk. So I'm doing my thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, betting on Victor Hedman tonight. Tremendous value for him to get an assist. And Bag Milk is crawling on the kitchen counters right behind my camera, standing up behind my laptop, like jumping around. So if you go watch the video, I think it's up on Twitter right now of me giving my bets. You can see I had a couple of smirks or my eyes dart up and I see Bag Milk jumping around at me.
I was thinking about doing it nude, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get too crazy here. We're only on day one.
There's still three or four more days to go. You got to
He's got to do a show on Monday that we can corrupt.
Maybe we'll corrupt the Monday show. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. 3-1, definitely corrupted.
If it's 3-1, Tyler, you're
going
to have,
we're going streaking in the background.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to go front facing.
It'll be the most viewed episode ever because of all the nudity. Celebratory nudity.
Well-deserved.
Yes. Well-deserved.
He's choosing to ignore you guys right now.
And
he's been living on his phone this whole time. That's why I'm trying to throw to him. Yeah. He's very distracted right now.
I was actually looking up. Someone sent me an Ask the Idiots question. So I just wanted to make sure it was ready.
Okay. Well, then let's get to it. Yeah. Our friends at Buster's Pizza, they've got a location near you, I promise you. And if you look at the website, whether you want a pizza, whether you want Donaire, maybe like Rick says, a pasta combo, come on, they've got it for you. They've got a location near you. Tyler's handling the Ask the Idiots questions today. So we are going to give our first take on this, and then we are going to award a GC to the most handsome and creative listener that sent in the question.
So I actually thought I had more, but I think I might only have one.
The odds of winning that GC are excellent.
So this one came in from our boy Mike at 13Mike31 on Twitter, co-host of the Scuttle Puck Pod. I've been on that a few times. So here's his question. He wore his royal blue Darnell Nurse sweater for game one, loss. He wore orange McDavid for game two, win. Does he go back to orange McDavid for game three or keep mixing it up and go to navy Draisaitl? Was it the orange sweater that was good luck? Or was it the fact that he changed that was the good luck?
Say you're, so
I had this
superstitious or are you superstitious?
This went through my head like 20 minutes before the podcast, and I was gonna ask you the exact same question.
So what's the approach here, boys? I'll tell you mine. So far, I've been to, in a jersey, that is, two games with the Nugent Hopkins jersey from 2017, undefeated. It is here with me in Los Angeles. Has to be done.
I wore my this season orange Bison King jersey to game one. Did not pay dividends. So I went back to my 2017 signed Mark Letestu jersey, game two victory. I wore the signed 2017. Sorry, I spaced out there. Mark Letestu jersey on the flight. I'm going to wear it to the game, but I did pack my white Draisaitl jersey.
In case?
Well, in case I want to wear it to the beach. Because I'm only wearing my Letestu jersey this trip, if you know what I'm saying.
So, Rick, what'd you decide?
I need some more advice. Keep going around the circle here. Tom, I haven't decided yet.
So, game one, I went navy Draisaitl. Game two, I went orange McDavid. I think I'm going back to orange McDavid, but that's just because I don't have a third option. I would have been intrigued. Like, I think maybe rotating every game maybe makes sense, but I don't know. I think, you know, the Oilers said they wanted orange in the seats. I think me respecting that and going back to an orange jersey for game two had something to do with their victory.
We all played a part. Like if you didn't do that, I didn't do that. Bagmel didn't do that. Everyone else in that building didn't do what they did.
Yeah.
We all got to play our part. So you double down. You lean. If you got something working, it's like a goalie. If you got the hot goalie, you start the hot goalie.
That's a good point.
See, my thing is I wore the whole outfit on game one. I went from the white shoes to the socks, to the onesie, to the jersey, to the scarf, to the nation flag. I had it all for game one, the big fat chain. I had it all for game one with an orange Connor. Game two, it was work appropriate. I changed it out. I went to blue Oilers shoes instead. I was just wearing like normal shorts. I had a nation shirt on, and I went and I stayed with the Connor orange jersey. So I think I'm going to do is wear different under and still rock the same shoes and the same Oilers jersey.
I think, yeah, good. That's good. Yeah, keep the overgrowth. Now, Rick, you have a very, get a little bit deeper. You have a tougher conundrum to deal with. You went to game one and you weren't at game two.
Yep.
I'll take your tickets for the next one.
Yes, game two is Tuesday right now. He's got it. You have no idea what the issue is going on inside my head right now on Tuesday for Tuesday.
Dibs like, rules. I'm sorry.
Dan, what's the play for a jersey?
For me, I wore my Mosser jersey for the watch party on game one. And then I shifted it to the Play La Bamba hoodie. But full disclosure, Beercade was a vibe for game two. And I was dripping sweat by the end of it. So if we lose tonight, it's because of me. I had to change my outfit. I'll be in a different one.
Well, have a hoodie with you.
Yeah,
wear it for a minute.
Fair enough.
The hockey gods respect if you're hot.
It was gross. It's pretty gross. But yeah, I'll do it. I'll put it on.
It smells like victory. That's what it smells like.
It smells like something.
My girlfriend and I pulled the Letestu jersey out of the closet. She goes, "It's still dirty." I'm like, "That's good luck dirt on there. That's from 2017. Yes. Do not wash this.
That's pre-pandemic dirt, baby. Lucky.
That's right.
That's lucky.
Dan mentioned the watch party. We should note that if you're back in Edmonton, the watch party for game three tonight is Pint on White.
Pinetown White.
Correct. And I believe Caroline Schved's hosting it.
Caroline's correct. Hosting. And Dan will be there. And we've got the shirtless Mandiz, I think, coming back out of retirement to join the crew.
If you haven't seen that yet, I encourage you to go to Oilers Nation's Instagram page and see Adam Mandrick, Mandiz, our boy. He went hard in the paint in game two. He had tarps off for the boys. He's swinging around his head. I heard he was on TV several times.
Oh, yes. He was so out. We're Bagnell were saying, we saw, like, I'm like, oh my God, there's a guy tarpless over there. Didn't know it was Mandrick. And then find out it was Mandrick, like, the next day. I was like, oh my God.
Well, I had it on my Instagram story after I found out it was Mandrick. And then Rick DMs me. He's like, that guy looks a lot like Mandrick.
I was going to send that the night before because I saw it on the, I think Owen posted on Twitter the night before. And I was like, man, this guy looks like fucking Mandrick. But it must have been like 12:30. I was like, I'll just leave it alone. Text the boys tomorrow, see if it is.
And you know what I love about Mandrick? Is he was hosting four clients.
Oh, yeah.
For work. So that's what I love about him, because that guy is always his true self. Doesn't matter. And that's why everyone loves him, because he is who he is and you love him for it. And he's hosting four people for work and he's tarps off. Just
pedal to the floor. Lives quarter mile at a time.
Oh, yeah.
I got another Ask the Idiots question that just came in. So I'm going to ask everybody for their first take. Jay, I'll start with you. Who is one player, Mr. Gaudreau, who always seemed to disappear in the playoffs? Any sport, doesn't matter. Let's go, Oilers.
Oh, so out. So just name other players like...
Anybody who just kind of takes the playoffs off. They head home early.
Well, hasn't Austin Matthews been guilty of that? Obviously, it hasn't happened yet this series. Yeah. Hasn't been kind of guilty
last
of that?
Last year, it was like that. Him and
Marner's been more of the culprit there.
No, yeah. Marner disappears.
He's having a good start, though, this series.
Tyler, you got anybody that comes to mind?
There's no one that comes to mind. The one that always, and I'm taking this a different direction, the guy who always had the reputation of this, but didn't deserve it, was Alex Ovechkin. Like every year is like, oh, Ovi and the Caps didn't come through in the playoffs. Oh, Ovi just wants to go to the World Championships. He doesn't care. But every year he would lead that team in scoring. They would like lose in seven games in the most heartbreaking fashion possible as he scores like eight goals in the series. And then they'd bow out because their team or their goalie just wasn't good enough. And people would always be like, oh, classic Ovechkin choking it away. And it's like, well, no, like he was actually good. So I'm just giving love to Ovi.
Didn't Bobrovsky have the same issue?
Yeah, he was never great for Columbus the few times they squeaked in, except for when they obviously swept Tampa.
I honestly don't have an answer for this. I don't know.
My answer is going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot, but it's Ty Conklin.
Ty Conklin. Dan, how dare you?
He has two playoff games in his career, and one of them was a relief appearance, and then the other one was a relief appearance. And
how dare you bring that
they
up?
They never should have played him as the backup.
10 goals against average.
Should have been juicy.
Yes. Yeah. 2.31 overall his career, but 10 in the NHL playoffs.
Rick, you got anybody that sticks out to you on this?
You know what? I think it's kind of gone now. But for a while there, and I think the one thing where people always like to point it out is in golf. And I know for probably close to two decades, Sergio Garcia.
Oh,
that dude could not win a major like forever. I think he's snuck one or two out by now. That dude went a long time without winning a major.
Wasn't it the same for Phil Mickelson though before he started winning? Like 10 years ago, 10 years ago.
Phil Mickelson couldn't win the last four years. 40 million. That's incredible.
Is that not good? Should we have him on BLT bet?
Tyler, yeah. Is that bad?
Yeah. Is that bad?
Yeah. You should bring one for his betting advice.
All that matters is his unit size.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah, that's true.
Right. Tyler, get your buttons ready. Okay. It is time for hot and cold performers. Again. We don't have a sponsor for Hot and Cold Performers. So again, this is the Bag Milk Hot and Cold Performers. I'm sponsoring the segment.
Mm-hmm. Producer Tyler just takes over the screen when
I gotta get
he's just covering his face.
I'm sitting on a backless chair and I'm an old man, so I'm laying down.
He's taking the rest of it off. I'm just happy Jay's not having a salad right now.
Looks like you guys are just recovering.
Kind of did have a delicious fruit bowl though.
Yeah, and we had Pokeballs last night. Come on now.
Pokeballs. We were keeping it tight a little bit.
There you go.
All right. We start off with our veggies every week on this podcast. Nation Dan, you're a Bag Milk Cold Performer of the Week.
I feel like I have to keep giving it to this guy because his narrative is just tired. It's Mark Spector for continuously dragging Jesse Puljujärvi. It's time to just get on board, Mark, and be happy about this team. Drop your narratives until the offseason when we can actually make transactions. And let's just support the boys. Talk positively about the things you want to talk positively about and be negative later. Mark Spector, you get my Cole Performer of the Week.
Oh, that's cold.
Rick, you're up next. Your Bag Milk Cole Performer of the Week.
It's going to go to three people here. And this is from last night. This is the New York Yankees were at the Rangers game last night. So you had Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, and DJ LeMahieu. So one thing, and we saw Gazdick do it the other day. One thing that sports guys like to do, they get on and they crush a beer, right? They do it on a Jumbotron. Well, I want you to go watch this video. And before they chug, I want you to look at their cups. I think they took like one beer, split it three ways.
Oh, it was staged.
And then
a staged beer chug.
If there's anybody who would
do it, like go look at the video. Not one has more than half a cup. And then they chug it.
They're being a bunch of Brads and Chads, weren't they? Oh,
I don't. Yeah, I don't. It was pointed out on Twitter last night from somewhere. But yeah, no, this is brutal. It's embarrassing. Come on. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, get over it.
What the hell is going on?
I think the important narrative here is
that you're so right, Rick.
The Yankees don't have enough money to afford beers.
Whoever's on the arc has like two fingers.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. Look at LeMahieu's. Oh, my God.
Whoever's on the right has like two fingers.
Yeah, that's LeMahieu. Oh, my God.
Bag milk would have that much spice in his fucking spiced rum and coke.
Yeah, I was gonna say my double spiced rum had more booze in there last night. Jay, you're up next. Cold form of the week.
Okay, I love Oilers Nation. I love Nation citizens, but cold performers to me were everyone in the building on game two when Mike Smith came out on the net that went ooh. Like, come on, man. He fucked up once out of like 150 times. Like, he's going to be okay.
Don't forget about that assist he got to Connor in overtime.
Exactly. Like, everyone, and I'm like, oh my God, come on, people. Like, let's just move on. We can't send that energy that way. You know, nothing but positivity. Anyways,
yes,
I love you all, though.
Oh boy.
Let's keep talking over you. Push the button.
No, that's fine.
Tyler, you're cold
performer. I'm going to give it to the LA Kings for the little shenanigans they were pulling this morning at morning skate. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, I'm okay with it because you're just firing up the Oilers to beat you by a million.
You're letting it get in your head.
I know.
You're letting them win.
The one that's rent-free, man.
I'm giving them a cold performer from their own perspective because it's like, are you guys stupid? You're just poking the bear. What are you doing?
Dumb. Okay,
so the LA Kings, you do get my cold performer of the week.
Boy, that escalated. That's quickly.
It's funny. I saw a little quick little story that was attached to that. And I said, do you remember back in 98, Glenn Sather, he trimmed up part of the fucking Avalanche, the bench on the opposition side. Like, he shortened their bench a little bit just to fucking piss them off.
Well, I love it. That's what you do. You got to go to the depths of the prank.
The Ken Holland story where he had like I think it was an intern, climb through the air duct to get into the visitor's room to change the temperature setting.
I love that stuff, man. Lawrence Taylor used to send a prostitute over to the starting quarterback's the hotel room every time in the playoffs.
Michael,
just distract him. His head games. I love it.
Cold performer of the week is Lizzo for About Damn Time. It's been stuck in my head all day.
I'm upset.
Flipping the ledger, we're going to end off this podcast on the bright side. Rick, I'm starting with you. Hot performer of the week.
It's going to be a duo. It's a pairing, but it's a pairing of Duncan Keith and Bouchard.
Yeah.
First two games, you know, yeah. I know we're only 1-1, but those two guys, they've looked really solid through the first two games. They're eating up a decent amount of ice time. That's making the life easier for even Nurse and CeCe. So Keith and Bouchard, they're the hot performers of it this week.
Woo! Friday, baby! Yeah, let's celebrate Friday!
How long is this button, Tyler? I just see a green
thing. That's good.
Another thing too about Evan Bouchard is he's starting to get a little feisty.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The fire that Jay's been looking for in him is finally starting to come out, and he's been getting angry. He's got that dad strength going. He's hacking away post whistle. I love it.
Yeah. Boosh.
Nation Dan, your hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week is going to go to the man of the hour, the one that was that wore the loss in the first game, Mike Smith, for your response in game number two. You get my hot performer of the week.
He's a hot guy.
Tyler, you're up next. Hot performer of the week.
I'm going to give it to Ryan McLeod. Rick touched on it earlier. This guy is making contributions on the power play, on the penalty kill, whether he's on the fourth line or getting shifts with McDavid or Drysdale. This guy just finds a way to make things happen. I love when he's on the ice. I love the player he's turning into. So give me more Ryan McLeod.
Pour it on!
Jay, your hot performer of the week.
It's good to see the fire in Boosh. He can now be my dad. I am, you know what? Kyler Yamamoto. Woo. Just that guy is in Yam Fry beast mode. Like, he is everywhere. He is laying the body everywhere he can. He is battling for pucks. He's contributing. And he's a vibe. That guy is the vibe of the team. Like, he really keeps them loose. So he's been fantastic.
Put some respect on my name.
I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to take the easy one. Hot performer of the week for me is our captain. Connor McDavid is leading by example. He's got a goal and three assists through the first two games. He's laying the body. He's leading. He's out there. He's feisty. The goal celebration after that one in game one, he is fired up. Connor McDavid, my hot performer of the week.
The big guy is smoking.
Also, I want to give some extra love to Evander Kane. I bet on him to go over 4.5 points in the series, and he put up 3 in game two. Good man.
He wants you to win.
He does. Evander Kane cares about me.
I want to give a shout out to all the boys for winning us a little bit of money, especially me on Tuesday. Wednesday. I had a great time. Thank you.
Yeah, Bank Milk went 11 for 12 of his bets, but let's focus on the fact there was 12 bets.
I got a little excited.
Let's focus on the fact he won 11. How about that?
I got a little excited and I had some pregame laid down. And then we go for a pint for a quick one before the game. Chalmers is out there betting. So once he's betting, I'm back in the mix. Sometimes you got it.
You got it. I know. I respect the hell out of it. Sometimes you got it.
For our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, Cornerstone Insurance, and Buster's Pizza, this is Oilers Nation Radio episode 193. Huge game tonight, boys. We got to wrap it up with a score prediction. Rick?
Let's go 5-1 Edmonton.
Dan?
4-1 with two empty netters.
Jay?
3-1.
4-2.
5-2. Price is Right mode on all you bitches.
Let's go. That's it for the podcast. Have a great weekend.
Shout out, Ben.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.